Amen. All right. Good to be back tonight.
Amen.
All right. Well, praise the Lord. It was a good day today for me. I didn't do much of anything, but I didn't get in trouble either. Amen. Lord, give us some good weather. Appreciate that. And I just appreciate being here. Brother Eli has been doing some things, helped me out, and I've enjoyed the fellowship with him as much as anything he did. And it's just been good for us. We really appreciate being here. This one? Okay. Amen. All right. Ready?
And guilty there I stood condemned to die. To sin prison I've been sentenced by the judge of all mankind. No hope that I've been given by this world religious band. There I was in sin's prison, just a hopeless sinful man. From the portals of glory came my lawyer so divine.
Prison cell one day, amen. And never been the same. Don't ever want to be. All right.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. To start with an understatement. Amen. Open your Bible tonight, James. Got me a pitcher of water. I'm saved now. That means I'm supposed to use the cup. Amen. Amen. There was a time. And amen. Thank God it's in the past. James chapter 4 tonight. And let's begin reading in verse 13. The Bible says this, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and
continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain? Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. Verse 13, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city. Could I say that based on my experience, and I've been on the road most of my 56 years, many of them in the service of the wrong God, and 12 of them in the service of the right God. I've been a lot of places. I've done a lot of things. But I've never seen such a city as this city that you're blessed with here. I'm going to tell you what, there's not another town, not another city in the United States like New York City. Amen. And I just want to take the opportunity to say, we love coming here. Amen. I was talking to a brother last night. He said he came here in 1975 and fell in love with the place, and he's still in love with the place. And I'll tell you what, I thank God for letting us come. Amen. That should have got an amen out of somebody. Come on. Wake up. Amen. See, I'm afraid of, you're afraid I'm going to trick you, see? You're afraid I'm setting you up. I might, but that wasn't it. Amen. It says this. It says, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Well, that right there is talking about one thing and one thing only. Doing business. Amen. Buying and selling and making a profit. And that's what this world is focused on. And that's what this world is going to and fro as fast as it can. That's what every college teaches you to do. Do whatever you got to do, but as long as you're successful, you're all right. Amen. That's not what the Bible teaches, but that's how most people think these days. That's why everybody's in such a panic. Amen, because of the economic situation. Amen, listen, I didn't lose a dollar on Wall Street, amen, because I didn't have one there, amen. My life savings didn't go up in smoke because that happened years ago, amen. Amen, not that much changed. The offerings went down, got a little crazy about last October. Everything hit about 50%, amen, for a while. It got a little scary, and then God, I watched God cut fuel prices about 50% between 1st of October and January, and I thought, well, that's helping to compensate for everything else that's going on. God's good, man. Last time I was here, I paid $4.36 for a gallon of regular gasoline right up the street. I don't know how high it got, but I'll tell you what, that's what it was when I left. And it's nowhere near that now. Amen. I'm not complaining. But we've seen some rough times, and I don't know the situation here. I don't know how many are struggling. I've been in some places where people started panicking because, you know, the news media told them to. Amen. I got a friend, his name's Sam Gipp. He says, you know, if most people just turn the stinking television off, they might be forced to come up with their own opinion. Instead of just being programmed and told how to think. Even conservatives are told how to think. Amen. Tell you what, a lot of people just got nervous, and I'm going, yeah, that's making me nervous. So I'm looking around and going, ain't nothing changed here except the spirit of the place. Then I've been some places that were definitely affected. Amen. And things got real tight, and I had people call and say, Brother Spurgeon, things are real crazy around here, and we can't afford to have a meeting right now. And I called them back. I said, if things are crazy, you can't afford not to. And I asked them to let me come, knowing that I might be in the hole before it was over. And I'll tell you what, God met with us on some of them meetings. And I'll just be honest with you, I never left in the hole, amen. And what I'm saying is this. A lot of businesses in this day and age, and like I say, it may or may not apply to someone in here directly or indirectly, but a lot of businesses in last year struggled, and some actually went under. And as I travel around the country and try to pay attention to what's going on, to ask God, you know, what to use as, by way of illustration and things like that, I've noticed one business that doesn't seem to be struggling. I've noticed one business that doesn't seem to be suffering at all. I have a preacher friend, amen, and he calls it, I got a bunch of them, I hope, but he calls it the sinning business. And I heard him say this, he said, it's time to get out of the sinning business. I'm going to tell you what's still flourishing, regardless of what's going on in Washington, regardless of what's going on in the world scene, regardless of what's going on in the lives of everyday Americans. I'm going to tell you something, the sinning business doesn't seem to be suffering at all. As I drive around, I watch liquor stores and bars, their parking lot still full. I'm watching casinos be open, as I drive across the country. When they started opening the casinos, they were claiming that, that they were on Indian land. I'm telling you what, if every casino in this country is on Indian land right now, amen, they ought to give the country back to us, amen. They owe more of it than we thought. Sin in business, amen, still thriving. Amen, we drive around the country. I'll tell you what gets me is they call them adult bookstores. Adult bookstores on the sides of the highways, we drive around. Big letters, man, way off in the distance, you can see them. Adult, amen. That's spelled P-E-R-V-E-R-T. That's how you spell that thing. I'll tell you what, if there's anything since I've been a Christian that's caused me to consider trying to locate a law rocket. Now, for some of you don't know what that is, but that's a shoulder-held individual infantry disposable bazooka. Amen. And get one. I'm talking about make a call and blow them things off the map every time I see one of them things. That's what crosses my mind. And I don't even repent of that or nothing. Amen. I mean, I'm not in the business of killing people, but I'll tell you something. I'm sick of that stuff, amen. Because I've seen what it's done to husbands. I've seen what it's done to families. I've seen what it's done to young people, amen. Sin and business seem to be thriving. And there's no shortage of video stores. Video stores. I know I'm coming close to meddling here, but hey, I'm an evangelist. This is what I do. Amen. I went to England to preach, and there's a Blockbuster video there. I couldn't believe it. Amen. I go to a little town of Wing, Alabama. They have a flashing yellow light, a BP gas station, and a video store. That's it. Amen. They got to drive 20 miles. Amen. To get a hamburger, but they just got to go up the corner to rent a movie. Amen. And the reason I mention them is because 90% of what you find in a video store is nothing but sin. The other 5% is borderline. Amen. I'll amen myself here in a minute. Amen. Now here's the deal. Here's what caused me to wonder what's going on as I watch things like that flourish when Christians are struggling, when other people are struggling, when businesses are going under. I go to cities, and I'm usually preaching at this is a pretty good sized church on my circuit. Amen. I do a lot of preaching in storefronts. I go try to help the little guys can't afford big time evangelists flying in and renting a car and staying at some fancy hotel. I asked God what to do. He said, you get in a motorhome and you drive around the country till I tell you something different. And I just had no better sense to say, yes, sir, after I asked my wife and she said it was okay. And then I said, yes, sir. And that's what we do and we enjoy it. We go places that can't afford big fancy meetings. I can't imagine a meeting getting any fancier than this. We've had people saved, amen. Amen. I'm good with it. But look here, I've been in little towns and go by some mega church, some cathedral looking thing, some place that's got thousands of places in the parking lot. You know, whatever I'm talking about, But then we'll go down a street corner and there won't be anybody else in that town in and out track. There won't be anybody else in that town street preaching on the street corner. There won't be any outreach at all. No wonder the sinning business is thriving. You'll go places where there's humongous churches, but they ain't doing nothing. What about that? What about that? You go into a Christian bookstore, and I say that with apprehension. You go in there and they got how to book after how to book. You understand what I'm trying to say? How to live your best life now. How to feel better
about yourself.
You know, we sang that song the other night, Brother Pat had singing. I can't remember which one it was, but it's the one that goes, such a worm as I. You know what I'm talking about? And I bet you they don't sing that at Joel Osteen Church. I mean, that wouldn't be very good for your self-esteem. What a bunch of sinners saved by grace. That's what we are. Amen. But you got all that. You got these big churches. You got these radio ministries. Amen. And people are teaching and jabbering away and ain't saying nothing. And then you got Christian television. And those two words don't even fit in my mouth together right. Amen. That's like Christian whiskey or something. You know, that just don't even work. Christian television. Amen. Some lost sinner surfing through the channel on his way between Cinemax, that's well named, and Hell's Box Office, and stop for a while on some Christian station and see some limp-wristed guy standing there, amen, and some woman looks like, you know, caked on the makeup. Oh, man, I tell you. He watches that for a few minutes and just keeps on going, doesn't even know what he's seeing. With all that going on, the sinning business is still thriving. Isn't that something? Maybe I got a handle on what's going on here. Maybe the sinning business is flourishing because so many born-again believers are still in the sinning business themselves. Now, we got a list of things we don't do, and as long as we don't do that, we think that makes us spiritual. That's religion, friend. That's how every religion thinks. If we do this and don't do that, then we're a cut above, we're ahead of everybody else. That's faulty thinking. And then that allows us to tolerate a list of things in our life because as long as we're not doing that, but I'm going to tell you what, the sins that we tolerate in our lives, the devil's magnifying the sinning business 100-fold. Because Christians are tolerating too much sin themselves. Amen. What do you think? I'm going to preach on sin one of these days, right? Tonight I want to preach on this thought right here. It's time to get out of the sinning business. It's time to get out of the sinning business. Father in heaven, I love you and I pray for grace. I pray for mercy. I pray for courage and boldness. And I pray for God the right spirit to say what you want said. Nothing more. I have no agenda, Lord, other than a fervent desire to have you meet with us tonight in a way that'll make us better, different, and closer to you when it's all said and done. And if that could happen, Lord, we'll sure thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, so let me preach on that thought tonight. It's time for Christians to get out of the sinning business. Now, there's a reason why that's hard. I understand that. I understand. The reason that's not as easy done as said is because every one of us, amen, I'm talking to believers now, every one of us, you can be washed in the blood, you can have your name chiseled into the book of life, but you still live in an earthly vessel that, bottom line, doesn't want out of the sinning business at all. It was born into it. It was born into it. Psalm 58, verse 3 says this, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies." Those cute little babies, amen, they're born liars, amen. I got grandkids, I can say this, amen. They just look so sweet and just cry like they need something. They don't need nothing. They just want to be held. They just want attention, amen. They'll act like the house is on fire. There ain't nothing wrong with them at all. Just doing whatever they got to do to get attention. I'm going to tell you what, I say, how can you tell babies do that? Because that's how people grow up, just whining and crying and doing whatever they got to do to get attention. Amen. Hey, that's a sinning business and we're born into it. Amen. Listen, I hope you didn't buy into that evolution stuff they might have tried to teach you. There ain't no monkeys on your family tree, but I'm going to tell you what there is. There's a bunch of sinners on your family tree. We are born into sin. Amen. We need to get out of the sinning business. But we live in a flesh that doesn't want out. So I'm going to take that and say, first of all, that if you're saved here tonight, if you are, you've been delivered. Now this is good news. Oh, talk about the gospel being good news. If you're saved here tonight, whether you've been saved one day or 20 years, you're just as saved, amen, as anybody else. And if you're saved, you've been delivered from the penalty of sin. You've been delivered. Thank God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And that book teaches that the wages of sin is an eternal death in a lake of fire. Amen. And if you're saved here tonight, you trusted Jesus Christ, your Savior, by faith, you're not going to clean up your act enough. You're not going to do enough to earn your way in. That Bible says, for by grace he is saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. If you got in on the grace of God tonight by faith in what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary, thank God tonight you've been delivered from the penalty of sin. You've been delivered from an everlasting lake of fire. Boy, that's a big deal. That'll help you through the rough days. That'll help you through the days, you know, when the phone calls aren't going the way you wanted and things like that. People ain't acting right. Just go back and thank God tonight you've been delivered from the penalty of sin. That worked for me. Now, those of you here Sunday, I talked about those appointments. Amen. Everybody here's got a couple appointments. Now, if you're saved, you've got an appointment with death and with judgment. And if you're lost, amen, you've never been saved, you've got an appointment with death and with judgment. Everybody's got them. But if you're saved here tonight, you've got an appointment with the death in the flesh. You do not have to worry about what the Bible calls the second death. You don't have to worry about the second death. Amen. Say, well, I'm afraid to die. Well, that's okay. Let me say this to you. That first death, that one we all got in common, that one that passed on to all men for all of sin, is nothing compared to the second one. And I'll tell you what, Lord Jesus Christ will walk through the first one with you. But if you die in your sin, if you're saved here and you would have died in your sin, you'd have walked through that second one alone. If you're in here tonight and you're not saved, amen, you got two deaths ahead of you, and then you still got judgment. And your judgment will be for passing up the gift of eternal life. Jesus Christ could not have made it easier for a person to get their sins forgiven, and that's what you'll be judged for. Why did you neglect? Why did you reject? Why did you not act on the grace of God when it was presented to you? Amen. If you're saved here tonight, you have acted on it. And that could be everybody in here. I don't know, but I know this. If you are saved, you've been delivered from the penalty of sin. You've been delivered from eternal death. You've been delivered from judgment for sin. Now, you still have a judgment. The Bible says, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And if you're saved here, you're not going to be judged for your sin. Your sin's underneath the blood that we sang about. Your sin's been taken care of by Jesus Christ. Amen. But you're still going to give an account. And so then every one of us shall give an account of himself. And now your account will be a thing called a judgment seat of Christ. And you'll be judged for your conduct as a Christian. Say, it doesn't matter how you live. Yes, it does. Tell you what, you weren't saved by works, but you was created unto good works. Same chapter that says, for by grace he is saved through faith, says, you're his workmanship now, created unto good works. What's that mean? He'd like to use you to prove to other people that aren't saved yet. Like Brother Pastor already said, he's real. I'll tell you what, I've been looking for something real for a long time. It found me, amen. He found me. But now we're judged for our conduct. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says we'll be judged on whether it be good or bad. And I'm going to tell you something, Christian. You can be washed in the blood. You can be saved. You can be heaven bound. You can know it. But if you're in a sinning business tonight, you're going to stand face to face with Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to give an account of the life that he bought for you. A life that he says if you present it to him as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, that just be reasonable service. You're going to stand account for how you conducted yourself. And if you persist to remain in the sinning business, when the Spirit of God convicts your heart, when the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God convicts your heart, and you won't do anything about it, I'm going to tell you something. A day's going to come where you are going to answer, and it's not going to be good. And you know what one of the saddest things about that day will be? You're going to look the Lord Jesus Christ in the eye. You're going to see the nail-scarred hands. You're going to know that day. You're going to be reminded that day of just how great a debt you owed him. You're going to be reminded that day at the judgment seat of Christ how little he asked of you. You know, he doesn't ask anything of us that's not for our benefit. you shouldn't do this or you shouldn't do that. That's for our benefit. Amen.
You wait till you get to the judgment seat of Christ before you acknowledge your sin. I'm going to tell you what the saddest part about that will be. You're going to realize how much you owed Him, and you're going to realize that He could have used you and He wanted to use you, and that He would have blessed you for using you, and it's too late for you to do anything about the life you wasted on yourself because you had to just hold on to something that kept you in the sinning business. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. We do it all the time, but we shouldn't. Do you ever wonder? I mean, we can come to this mentality and we can go through the Bible and we can rightly divide and I believe in all that, and we get to looking at the state of the world and all that, and we think, wow, the world's getting wickeder and wickeder and all this is happening, and here we are, just this little remnant, and we're just holding on. We're not supposed to be holding on. We're supposed to be a witness. And the darker the world gets spiritually, and it's getting darker every day. Let me tell you something. If you turn out every light in this building, every light, and I perceive it gets pretty dark in here. It's already dark outside. And you lit one candle. Everybody in here would see it, wouldn't they? Wouldn't that shine pretty bright in a pitch black room? Boy, we live in an age that's so spiritually dark. The Bible says the devil's the god of this world. He's having his way. Amen. Our fellow Americans that started a couple hundred years ago, man, with a country dedicated to God is so far from God. But that really means that it wouldn't take much of a serious, dedicated witness to stand out. Boy, I tell you what, He did so much for me. Didn't He for you? I tell you what, sometimes I can't even comprehend that I have been delivered from the penalty of sin, even in this life, let alone in the next. The Bible says, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. I can't believe I made it into the most elite group that's ever lived. Those washed in the blood of Christ. Comparative to the number of people that have lived in the history of mankind, we make up a pretty small group. We need to appreciate that more than we do. Man, thank God, isn't it good to know you've been delivered from the penalty of sin? Boy, wasn't there a time when the spiritual light started coming on for you? If you're saved, if you're really saved, whatever your situation is right now, amen, wasn't there a time when just the realization what Christ did and what you're not going to have to do now, pay for your sin yourself in the lake of fire, wasn't that such an unbelievable, overwhelming thing? You weren't worried about the fads and fashions of this world. You weren't worried about your job. You weren't worried about all the things that are keeping you from standing out for Jesus Christ that you're worried about now. We need to get back to getting out of the sinning business. We need to get back to making a difference. Amen. This world's so wicked that compared to so-and-so, compared to this group, compared to that crowd, man, we can look pretty good. When in reality, compared to that book, we're not doing that good at all. We're just doing better than everybody else. I read a verse last night, those that compare themselves with themselves and among themselves, the Bible says are not wise. We shouldn't be getting our cues from all those other crowds. We should still be getting it from God's book. Time to get out of the sinning business. Now, if you're saved, you've been delivered from the penalty of sin. But you have not been delivered from the presence of sin. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. It's all around us, that's for sure. And I could say especially here, especially in the city, but it wouldn't be true. Sin's everywhere. The stuff that's going on in New York City is going on everywhere. Amen. Might be in greater numbers here because there's more people. That's for sure. Amen. But let's look what the Bible says. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 3. And Paul writes, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. I told somebody recently, I'm not sure which fellow it was, but Jesus Christ didn't go to the cross. Jesus Christ didn't die so that you and I could go to heaven. Jesus Christ didn't die so that you could get victory in your life. Jesus Christ didn't die to put your marriage back together. He didn't die for any of that. He died for our sins. That's what 1 Corinthians 15 says. That's what it says. It says he gave himself for our sins because our sins were taking us to hell. Remember? That he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Amen. If you're saved in here, you've been delivered from the penalty of sin, but you haven't been delivered from the presence, because this is literally where we live, in this present evil world. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, familiar verse. We're going to look at a couple verses here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Let's start with verse 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh take heed. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There, verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. If there's something that's common to man, saved man, lost man, saved woman, lost woman, it's temptation to sin. We live in a present evil world, and though if you're saved tonight, you've been delivered from the penalty, you need to be mindful tonight that you have not been delivered from the presence. And that means this right here. That book said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. You better keep your guard up. That's what that means. There's empty pews in every church I preach at. And some of them folks went on in the ministry. But I'll tell you what, the folks that got called out of churches to serve God somewhere else, that number is outnumbered by people that aren't anywhere near the will of God anymore, because somewhere along the way, hey, they were saved, they even knew some Bible, but they let their guard down, and they're gone. And I don't want that to be you next time. But it could be, because we live in the presence of sin. And even though there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man, you better understand tonight, temptation is common to man. Wherefore, the same afflictions, amen, your brothers have the same ones. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Now, we're talking about the sinning business, and we're talking about the presence of sin. And we're in an earthly vessel that's not interested in setting its affections on things above. We live in a flesh, amen. Thank God. If you're saved, your flesh has been cut away, amen, from your soul. Thank God. You better thank God for that. That means this right here. That means that the sins that you commit after you're saved, they can't get to your soul anymore. Your soul belongs to God. Your soul is heaven bound. Amen. Your flesh is still in the sin and business. Amen. That's what you got to work on. That's what you got to keep your guard up about. But your soul, amen, is signed, sealed, and all but delivered, amen. But you got a flesh that's not saved, never going to be, amen. It's going to get changed. That's what it's going to take. It's not going to get redeemed. It's going to get changed. I can't wait. Okay, 1 John chapter 2. Thessalonians wasn't looking good there. And I started reading them, going, oh, that's pretty good. Well, no, it's not where I said to go, though. I know you'd never do that. I know. It's It's hard to figure out what to preach. That's all good. Amen? Somebody say amen.
All right, verse 15. That's what I want. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Here's what John said. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. See, that flesh ain't saved. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Three things is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. I tell you what, number one, the first and foremost will of God for you is to repent of your sin, put your faith in Jesus Christ. That Bible says, Lord, not willing that any should perish. Amen. The will of God for you, if you're not saved, amen, is to get saved, and you can get saved, and we went over that, and we'll go over that till we're blue in the face, because that's good news tonight. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. You have not been delivered from the presence of sin, and some of the presence and the ways that sin manifests itself. Right there in verse 16, it says, love not the world, verse 15. And it says, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17 says, the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and they're contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Listen, that lust of that flesh, what's that mean? That means it wants to please itself. It is not interested in pleasing God. It is not interested in living godly. It is not interested in where other people spend eternity. It's interested in one thing and one thing only, and that's itself.
I'm going to tell you something. If you're not careful, you can be washed in the blood and heaven bound, and you can get consumed with your. We watch people go through phases. We watch them go through phases where young people, children are like that. It's all about them. It's all about them. They're inherently selfish. And if that's not dealt with, then they grow up to be selfish teenagers and selfish young people. And then you get up the road. You got to get up the road 30, 40, 50 years before you realize it ain't about you at all. But you got a flesh that'll continue to try to convince you it is. And that's called the lust of the flesh. I'm going to tell you something. The lust of the flesh will keep you from doing anything that's pleasing to God. And then for some, it's the lust of the eyes. Now you've heard it said, the eyes are the gate, amen, the windows to the soul. And they're not the only ones. The ears are not far from the eyes. We live in the media age. The media age, everything's visual, everything's vocal, everything's audio. You can't even get people's attention anymore. I want people in the same room. It's so interesting to watch people. I want people in the same room together, not talk to each other, but text message other people. I started watching real close to see if they were text messaging each other. I felt like saying, hey, why don't you put the dumb phone down and just talk to the person? Duh. My girls, man, they'll text message and they'll ask a question and, okay. And then about 10 minutes it takes me. And then, oh, that's cool. And then they'll ask another question. I press it, pick up the phone, hit down, say, look, why don't we just talk? I know I'm a dinosaur. Stop laughing, Roseanne. He'll hand you a banana if you're not looking. Amen. But amen. So he got the lust of the eyes. And the Bible says this. Be not conformed to this world. It said love not the world. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let me tell you what the natural mind, it wants to just take in and listen. That's what a attraction down on Times Square, man. Bright lights, man. That's what the attraction is out in Vegas. Man, I tell you, they got to build Hoover Dam and pay the light bill there. Amen. And hey, I've been out there preaching. I won't even go on this trip. I don't even want to be down there, man. It just reminds me so much of the old days. But I'm going to tell you what, they built that thing. It just fascinates people and feeds that lust of the eyes thing. Boy, I tell you what, that stuff will keep you from caring anything about God. Say, well, I'm saved. I'm glad you are. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove with that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. How you doing on that? Let me tell you something. If you don't let the Word of God transform your mind, you'll start thinking that whatever it is you think is important is the most important thing. In other words, if you don't get conformed to this Word, you really have no choice than to be conformed to the world that it says don't be conformed to. I mean, are you interested in the good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Man, I keep hearing stories and testimonies, and I go places and I see people that they claim to be saved, and they walk up to me, and I listen, I'm in and out in a week, and they can just present, be, that's like me, man. That's why I'm an evangelist. I'm on my best behavior for a week. Lord knows that's about my limit. So every week I change locations and start all over. Amen. You know, if you knew me as well as my wife, you'd have to have as much grace as she does to put up with me. I understand that. But here I go church to church, and I get people, and they can all be on their best behavior and say all the right things for a couple of days. Man, and I find out sometimes that there's people, man, some of you are saved and your testimony doesn't line up with a Bible believer. Your testimony, your attitude toward your wife or your husband, your attitude toward your preacher, your attitude toward the outreach of this church, your attitude toward winning souls, it doesn't line up with that of being a Bible believer. Time to get out of the sinning business. That book says this, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You know what I see trailing around? I see pastors that would like to organize outreaches and things to help families grow and to bring close churches together and keep kids active and interested and growing the grace and knowledge of the Lord, and then people work together to get the gospel out and all that. I watch them not able to do some of those things because they got to spend a disproportionate amount of time in some office counseling not new Christians who are learning, older Christians that should know better. Seems like our time would be better spent, especially in these last days, trying to get people to Christ. I'm going to tell you why it doesn't happen. Because a bunch of Christians are in a sinning business these days. Well, the Bible says this, but you don't care what the Bible says. Because you got your mind made up, and you're going to do it your way. And, man, don't come to me trying to convince me you're spiritual. Maybe the world's going to hell all around us at such a rate because too many of us are in the sinning business ourselves. And like I said before, it don't take much for us to look good. The world's so wicked. Well, there's a list of things. If we're not doing them, we convince ourselves we're spiritual. How do you rack up to this? Let me tell you something. Your conduct as a Christian isn't based on situation ethics. It doesn't have anything to do with your education or your opinion or how you see it. Your conduct as a Christian is supposed to be guided by the book. Is it? Time to get out of sinning business. Time to get back in the Father's business. You're getting a new one anyway, aren't you? Yeah. If I smash this, Eli, you got work to do. And I won't even do it on purpose. Stuff just breaks when I get mad. You know? And I'm not even mad. All right, now. If you're saved here, man, you ought to take a minute. It cracks me up, man. Not in a good way. Does anybody have a testimony? Nobody's glad they're saved? Nobody? Boy, I made up my mind as a baby Christian that I would never let a testimony time opportunity come without nobody saying nothing. Because if nobody said nothing, then I would. I'm glad to be saved, aren't you? If you're saved, you've been delivered from the penalty of sin. Death, lake of fire. Whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You got over that somewhere? How? You haven't been delivered from the presence of sin. And truth is, I mean, it's one thing, man, drive down the street and there's things, But we flock to it. We surround ourselves with it. I used to wonder, okay, you got the Garden of Eden. You got, I don't know how big it was. I mean, I could almost figure it out. Big. One tree. One tree. One tree in the Garden of God. And God said, of everything out there, you may freely eat. Except for that one tree. Now, why did they insist on staying within sight? I mean, looking back, wouldn't logic have been, okay, we got this big garden, and there's one tree, let's move across town here. But they stayed within sight of it. They stayed within talking distance of the... I don't know why they did that, but I'll tell you something I figured out. We do the same thing. We live right on the edge. And I'm going to tell you what, you may do a balancing act for a while, but when the wind starts blowing and the waves get boisterous, and they do sometimes, some of you are going to get washed overboard. You know what my suggestion would be? This is deep theology, amen. My suggestion would be is to get as far from the edge as you can. We've been delivered. If you're saved, we've been delivered from the penalty, thank God. But we haven't been delivered from the presence. We flirt with it, just like Adam and Eve did. I'm sharing now, ain't I? Amen. You need to understand this, and I'll move on. If you're not doing right, according to that book, you're justifying your situation, and it's contrary to that book, you're in the sinning business. All right? Is that black and white enough for you? You need to do something about it. You need to get out of the sinning business. You need to quit playing games and wasting everybody's time and get right with God. Because there's people dying and going to hell while we're playing games in the sinning business. You understand me? Bible Christianity is not a social event. It's not a fashion show. It's not a game. And that's what a lot of Christians are doing. They're just playing games. And people are dying and going to hell because of it. Well, I don't feel like, who cares? It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Him. And what He did, keep people out of hell. Now, there's a day you knew that crystal clear because it was your eternal life on the line. Amen. All right, let's go on. You've been delivered from the penalty of sin. You're still tempted by the presence of sin. I want to tell you how to get free from the power of sin. Go to Psalm 51. Last of all today, how to get out of the sinning business. How to get out of the sinning business. Psalm 51. This is one of the most precious passages in the Bible to me. Verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. I'll tell you something there, right there, is the first step toward getting out of the sinning business, is to ask God to have mercy upon you. You don't have to play games, justify to me or anybody else. You just need to have a talk with God, and what you need to be talking to Him about is having mercy on you. Amen. And He will. You don't have to beg. He's rich in it. Amen.
Ephesians chapter 4, His mercies endure forever. Amen. He's got plenty of it. I tell you what, there's only one hindrance to getting it, and that's not asking for it. And when you persist to proceed according to your own plans or ideas, amen, you can't get the mercy of God. You've got to go to God for it. He said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. Let me say, I'm going to read a verse to you out of Jeremiah chapter 9. In verse 23, the Bible says this. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. That's a testimony of America today. That's exactly what people glory in. They glory in their wisdom, they glory in their might, and they glory in their money. But if you're a Christian in here, it says in verse 24, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Now if you stay near, you know the Lord. That's what, man, this world's got nothing that begins to compare with that. And here's what he says. That he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness. Amen. That's what God does. He exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. That's what God likes to do. That's what he delights in. Loving kindness. It says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. Man, let God have mercy on you. But you got to go to him. You want to get out of the sin and business? You're under the power of sin. Listen, everybody looks fine to me. I don't get any notes, you know. I don't get briefed. I'm not smart enough to get briefed. I don't want to get briefed. I'm going to preach what the Lord tells me. I'm telling you something tonight. If you're under the power of sin in any area in your life, you need to get that thing straightened out. I'm happy to report you can get that thing straightened out. You need to get that thing straightened out, and you start by asking God for mercy, because He's the God of loving kindness. It says, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Verse 2, wash me thoroughly. That's what it says. Thoroughly. Through and through. Wash me truly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Amen. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You want to get out from under the power of sin? You're going to have to get honest with yourself. And then you're going to have to get honest with God. You're going to have to quit playing games and justifying yourself. Amen. You want peace with God again? You want to get back into pleasing God business? Amen. This is how to do it. Verse 3, for I acknowledge my transgressions. There you go. And my sin is there before me. I'm going to tell you what, if you're ever going to get out of the sin of business, you're going to have to acknowledge your transgressions. You know what that means? You're going to have to quit blaming other people. Amen. We got a way of working situations and asking, well, I know what the Bible says and I know what I'm supposed to do, but if you only knew what they're doing, when are you going to get it, man? You're accountable between you and God. It doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. To get out of the sinning business, you got to quit blaming others. You got to take the blame for your part. Amen. Quit blaming your circumstances. You know how Dave Purgeon got out of the sinning business? Amen. The first time in November of 1990, at 6 o'clock in the morning in solitary confinement in a county jail, I got on my knees and I took the blame to God for everything I'd ever done wrong in my life. I quit blaming circumstance and different things and the crowd I ran with and all that. And I quit and I just said, God, I blew it. It's my fault. And God said, man, I thought we'd never get there. And I'll tell you what, He washed me from my sin that day. Amen. That's what's going to have to happen over and over. Even as a Christian, if you sin, you're going to have to get a hold of verse 4. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned. We need to get a... Man, we play games with each other and respond and react. And what we need to get a hold of, maybe it'd help us to get a hold of. If you're a child of God in here today, when you sin against God. You might make your parents mad. You might make your preacher mad. You might offend your spouse. Your sin is against God. You belong to Him.
Your sin is an affront to the holiness of God. I'll tell you something. That book says the wages of sin is death. And anything that offends His holiness, He has the right to kill it. But He doesn't. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of patience. He's a God of long suffering. He's a God of lots of chances. Say, how does God give chances? Well, He has preachers preach messages like this. Amen. I know you prefer the counseling method. It doesn't work very well, though. The Bible says the preaching of the cross is the power of God. Amen. This is anonymous. I don't know what time it is. I know this. If you're ever going to get free from the power of sin, you're going to have to get a hold of the fact that your sin is against your Heavenly Father, your Creator. And that's what you're going to have to get right with. If you get a hold of that, you'll do what it says in verse 10. And He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And you ever notice about the Bible, there's a reason for the order. And we'll struggle. We want to, we're not having any fun now. There's no peace there. And we'll fight to try to get a hold of the right spirit without the clean heart. It doesn't work. It's impossible. You know what the evidence of that is? We clean up our act for a little while. We give it our best effort. We try. Oh, yes, this is going to explode. I mean, I got to have to do my best. And we do our best. But it doesn't last because the heart's not clean because you're still in the sinning business. Man, at its best state's altogether vanity. You're doomed. You're destined to fail. If you get God in it, there's a chance. There's hope. There's victory. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15. But I tell you what, you ain't going to do it on your own. And you don't have to. And I wish you'd quit trying. We can get out of the sinning business. For the glory of God, with the help of God, by the power of God, by the grace of God. It's your move, though. Verse 11 said, cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Boy, aren't you glad you don't have to worry about that? David didn't have to worry about that, but he didn't know it. But you and I know it. Grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. But I'll tell you something, you can grieve your walk, you can grieve your fellowship with God. And I'll tell you what that'll do, that'll cost you your joy. Look at verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Friend, tonight, if you can make up your mind that you're going to at least make every effort, or the first effort, or whatever effort, to get out of the sin and business, God would restore the joy that comes from being clean spiritually. I didn't say perfect. Who's perfect? But I'll tell you what, it says in verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. You can mark it down. You can leave with a clean heart tonight. Say, will all my problems go away? Listen, this stuff's not magic. But there's a path that God wants you to follow, and this is where it starts. And it starts with acknowledging yourself that there's areas, there's issues. I'm not going to give you a list. Here's why. Because I'd miss something, and you'd think, whew, that's how that works. I know, I used to sit out there. Oh, boy, as long as he doesn't say this, I'm cool. Yeah, I don't do that. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit do it.
Amen.
Because He's got your number. I don't. I'm still working on my number. Amen. I'm still trying to keep myself straight. Are you? Don't get too comfortable in the sin and business. Amen. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Boy, I tell you what. That joy will get you through unhappy times. We seek for happiness. That's a temporary thing. The Bible says in Nehemiah 8, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And joy will get you through rough stuff, make problems manageable, bearable. And why? It says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. And I'll tell you what, get God upholding you and you can make it through anything. But sin robs you of that. And it's not worth it. You can put an end to that tonight. Here's how. David had a little sincere talk with the Lord here, and it resulted in him having a clean heart and a right spirit, and the formula will work for you. But it's between you and him. And as long as you're sitting there worrying about what someone else will think, well, amen. You can't do it. You got to get honest with God. See, we know so much, don't we? We just know it all, don't we? How come we don't know enough to just go by the book? We're so smart. We've been in church so long. We're Bible believers. The Bible says, if you hide iniquity in your heart, the Lord will not hear you. Why don't you get that thing confessed tonight? Why don't you get that thing right tonight? Why don't you leave cleaner than you came in? You can. Amen. Then, here's what will happen. Verse 13, Psalm 51. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Wouldn't it be good to get back in the business of seeing sinners converted to Jesus Christ? Rather than all the foolishness we keep beating each other's brains out with. Let's get out of the sinning business tonight. Remember how cool it was when people got saved, when life got changed, when people get saved and you'd watch them come to church and grow and get victory and the spiritual lights come on when they realize that according to the Word of God, God really does care about us. God really does. This isn't about religion. This isn't a bunch of rules. This isn't any of that. That's not Bible Christianity. Bible Christianity is a relationship with the Creator of the universe who loved us. He's not mean and austere. Amen. He wants our love. He wants our worship. He deserves it. And He's very patient with us. Been patient with some of you already today. Been patient with some of you in this church for a while. And you know why I directed this message? Because he'd like to see you get something straightened out. Put an end to it. Now it's your move. But I'll tell you something. Preacher, I listen to the announcements, and we're going to go to the mission, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. And all that has to do with the Father's business. But I'm going to tell you something. Before we're going to get anything done in the Father's business, we've got to get out of sinning business. Little ones become big ones. Whatever it is you got, why don't you get that thing under the blood tonight? Maybe before it gets to be a big one. Maybe you already got a big problem. Why don't you give it to God? I mean, He took your sin when you were lost. What is it you think He can't do now? I can't think of anything. Let's bow our heads. Pastor's going to come. Message has been preached. I can't think of anything else I should say. But if you should be on your knees, boy, I'll tell you what, and you know it, I hope you are. This altar's open. What are you going to do with it? Preacher, you come.
Amen. Let's just keep our heads bowed for a moment here. Brother Pat, come ahead if you would. Chris. Not going to add a thing to that. I think the Spirit of God made it clear tonight. Now it was a message for Christians tonight. I don't know, there might be someone here in the room tonight that you need to be saved. And getting out of the sinning business or trying to get yourself out of the sinning business isn't going to get you saved. It was a message tonight for the children of God, those who are saved. And you know that once the Lord saved you, He intended to continue in you that good work that He began the moment you were saved. He promised to continue that work in you. And that work is not only using you, but cleansing you and changing you from within. That's His desire. He'll take you from where you are. He saves you in any condition. But thank God He doesn't leave you in that condition. He'll take you in whatever condition you're willing to come to Him, but He doesn't leave you in that condition. That moment He begins to work in you, to make you more like Him, to conform you to His will. And our usefulness as a church is dependent upon the condition of our hearts. We'll honor the Lord only to the degree that we keep ourselves clean and keep ourselves right with God. We can be busy and we can have ministries and we can do all kinds of stuff. We could go to 100 rescue missions and nursing homes and print 10 million tracts. And it won't mean a thing if we did all that in the flesh, dirty hearts. And the Lord isn't honored by that stuff unless it's coming out of a clean heart. It's just empty. Now what about you tonight? It's a good message for our church tonight. And I know there are situations in this room tonight that need to be changed, hearts that need to be cleansed, sin that needs to be given up, confessed to God. What is it? I'm glad He didn't give us a long list, because you probably can make your own list in your head. You know the things that aren't right in your life, the habits you've allowed to get a hold of you, the things that aren't right between you and your husband or your wife, the ways in which you've sinned against your husband, sinned against your wife, sinned against the Lord. Maybe you know right now, nobody's got to even remind you of it. The Spirit of God reminds you of it, the ways in which you've been unfaithful to the Lord, the habits that have got a hold of you that you won't let go of. What a blessing if right now you'll just allow the Lord to cleanse those things. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Cleanse ourselves, the Bible says. Therefore, having these precious promises, let us cleanse ourselves. Cleanse ourselves. Get things right. The Bible says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Our heads are bowed, and I just wonder tonight, if you're here, you know you're saved, but you know tonight, and the Lord reminded you of things in your life tonight that you need to have cleansed, sin that you need to confess and forsake tonight, things that need to be different in your life. You're aware of it, you want to acknowledge that to God tonight and ask God for His help and His mercy. Is there anyone like that here tonight? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, nobody needs to know who's who here. Just lift your hand up between you and the Lord. Would you acknowledge that tonight to the Lord? Lord, I know there are things in my life, there's sin in my life, there are things I just need to get victory over, things I need to get rid of, things I need to overcome. And Lord, I'm asking you tonight for your mercy and for your grace. You'd cleanse me tonight and help me. Is there anyone else here tonight? Just slip your hand up and put it down. Amen. All right. God bless you. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. That's good. All right. Now be honest with God. Lifting your hand doesn't change a thing. Will you make it right? Whether it's here at this altar or there in your seat, it makes no difference to God. But you can speak to Him. You can confess it. You can talk to Him. You can have it cleansed, have it washed away right now in the blood of Jesus Christ. The preacher said it tonight. What a blessing to go out of here cleaner than you came in. To have your heart right with God. Would you talk to God right now where you are? And would you sincerely confess that to the Lord and just ask the Lord to forgive you and help you and cleanse you? The Bible says, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And then the very next sentence in the same verse says, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. There's an advocate for you. The Lord isn't going to rub your face in your sin. But he wants you to be honest, admit it, come to him for cleansing. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. I just give you this opportunity to do this. And trust that you are, and trust that you will. And if you have tonight and gotten some things right with God, then thank him for it. Thank him for his mercy. And just remember to praise him for his forgiveness. And then just determine, ask God to help you when you leave this place. By his grace, you're going to lay those things aside and not pick them up again. The Bible talks about laying aside those weights, those sins, those things that just trip us up, easily beset us. You got to lay things aside. You got to turn loose of them, put them away, put things away from you. And you know the Lord's merciful. He'll forgive you right now, and then you walk out the door and you pick it up again. Whatever it might be, determine tonight and ask God for strength and grace that not to pick it up again. And the Lord will give you victory. Father, thank you so much for that throne of grace. Thank you tonight for the message. Thank you, Lord, for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God. And Lord, you only reprove us that you might not have to chasten us and judge us. Thank you for that. Lord, it's a blessing and it is your mercy that we are reproved. And thank you for that, Lord. And I pray, Lord, tonight for each and every one that is a lot of hands lifted tonight, Lord. Father, thank you so much that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And Lord, I pray for those tonight that there just be an honest and sincere a confession, an acknowledgement of that sin. And Lord, we know that in your mercy, Lord, you'll cleanse and forgive. And I pray, Lord, there just be victory all over this room tonight and help for those that are struggling with things. And Lord, I pray you would cleanse us and help us to just take heed to what we heard tonight, Lord. Help us to get out of the sinning business, that we might be used of thee, that we might honor you and glorify you with our lives. You have been so good to us, Lord. You've been so good to us, Lord. How could we even think on Calvary and want to turn around and go take our sin lightly? If we just stop for 2 seconds and think about what sin cost you, how could we play around with our sin any longer? Help us, Lord, not to forget that. Help us not to forget what you did for us. Help us not to forget the blood that was shed, the suffering, the pain, the sorrow that our Savior bore for us. Help us, Lord, that we just want to walk holy, live right, be clean, that we might honor you, that might glorify you, Lord, by the change in our life. Let the world see that light the preacher talked about, Lord, that our light, our testimony might burn brightly, Lord, in this world. Help us. And I pray for each one that lifted their hand tonight, Lord. May this be a, Lord, a time of victory and cleansing and forgiveness in their life. And help them not to forget it. And help them not to pick that sin up again, Lord. We just ask for your mercy tonight, Lord. We thank you for your presence. Thank you for your promises. Thank you, Lord, that you never forsake us. You said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Lord, thank you that we can come to you and not be spurned, rejected, but we can come boldly, Lord. And thank you for that. And we just honor you, Lord, and glorify you tonight. Thank you for the good that you do in our hearts. We love you, Lord, tonight. Thank you for being here with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's stand together. We're going to sing a song. We'll just make this a song of dismissal. And maybe if there are still things in your heart that are not settled, things are still unresolved, then take advantage of this time. Make it right with God right now before you leave the service tonight. Brother Pat, what is it?
166.
166.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I prayed, see if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. I praise thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. Fulfill thy word and make me pure within. Fill me with fire where once I burned with shame. Grant my desire to magnify thy
Christian, you know the Lord is only looking out for the best. He's looking out for your. He's looking out for you. He wants you to be clean. He knows that'll be better for you that way. It'll honor Him. Your life will be happier that way. You can honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And I wonder, as we sing this third verse, if you would just make this your prayer tonight. Lord, take my life and make it wholly Thine. Fill my poor heart with Thy great love divine. Take all my will, my passion, self, and pride. Now, these next few words are pretty serious. Pretty serious. I now surrender, Lord. In me abide.